So I have no idea if anybody can see or hear what it is I'm saying right now, because we are sort of doing a remote thing here. In fact, I have no idea if, you know, like I said, we're even streaming. I think we are. I was very confused as to the music doubling over itself. So I've been sitting here, you've been looking at me, and I've been sitting here trying to figure shit out, because that's what 90% of this gig is, man. Let me just get to you guys. Thank you very much for being here. We're here in the thang, man. Up north, we're in Big Sur, California. And you can sort of see it's very dark. I wish I could show you guys, but tomorrow on the BSP show, and especially on the BSP video cast, you guys are going to see a beautiful array of shots from up here in Big Sur. It's really fucking gorgeous, man. Let me just say good evening to Tony, to Stephen, Edward and Christopher, and Paul. Bonnie's with us, Matthew, Mark, Allie. Hello, Allie. Dean freaking Wheeler. Let's see who else. That's it so far this evening. Oh, we're offline now. How about that? The stream is offline. Well, great. How we got offline, I have no idea. Let me just see this again. See if we're back online. I have no idea. Oh, it looks like we're back online. Looks good. Might need a little more volume on that mic. All right. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. A little more volume. It doesn't translate to anything other than I just turned that fucker up. Hey, River Rat, how you doing, man? Nathan Smith, Jeff Dillard. The video feed, Jeff, is on the homepage. You go to the box at the very bottom under Phil Feed. You will see a post. Click on there to get it. Excuse me. Anyway, welcome to Big Sur, California. We're about, say, another couple of hours south of San Francisco, here on the California coast. Let me turn this down. You can hear that I've got the feed going on my phone. My phone is the only connection I have to any reality tonight. But anyway, it is good to see you. And as I mentioned, we have our Backstage Pass show that will be posted tomorrow, and it's going to have some pretty decent shots here of Big Sur. Elcott is with us. Tony, excuse me, Polly. You're going to get a belly full of that motherfucker tomorrow, as is, you know, Dean Wheeler and a few people. And we're just having a blast here. And we'll have some pictures of us driving up. Let me see what everybody is saying here. I'll just have to put my glasses on. Yeah, go to the bottom of the homepage, Jeff, and you'll see where that all is at. Yeah, Santa Cruz. As a matter of fact, Riverat, we were talking about. Is that you, man? Are you the Santa Cruz guy who gave me the hat? Because thank you very much for that. I was in Santa Cruz only once in my whole life, but Santa Cruz is north of here on the coast. A lot of crazy history. Santa Cruz is definitely some weird shit. Sarge is out near Salinas. That's cool, man. We came up Coast Highway. It was pretty sweet. You'll see on the video cast tomorrow, I saw a couple of surfers that I thought were otters, and that's going to sound pretty lame, but nonetheless. Elcott has his redeemery up here, and we went into went into one of the swimming pools here. And it's pretty hot here in Big Sur. I'd say it's the same temperature as it is in L.A. right now. It's about, you know, 87, 90 degrees. And I got into this fucking pool today, and it was hot. The goddamn pool was hot. what is the pool doing? Are you heating it? And no, we're not heating it. The pools are made of metal. That's like a steel goddamn pool. So, you know, it grabs that sun heat and it heats the water to it like it's a bathtub thing. So it's pretty crazy. Just had dinner over here at the restaurant. Very nice. And I sent one of my underlings over to get another drink because we're not going to survive this shit. So you're not River, you're not the dude from Santa Cruz? When is that Have Dinner with Phil Hendry contest starting? Allie, I think we're going to start it pretty soon. We just concluded our win the action figure. So I think the Have Dinner with Phil Hendry contest is coming up. And we are going to conduct that. I think that'll be the next contest this coming month. BSPs, I need to announce it on the air, but all BSPs will be eligible for that. And I could get a sweet Santa Cruz t-shirt were I have a mind to go up to Santa Cruz River Rat, but at this particular point, we're sort of locked in here with Elcott and the rest of these motherfuckers. Behind me, if it wasn't so goddamn dark, you'd see a spectacular view of the Pacific Ocean. And the fog was rolling in today. Because we're so high above the water level, it was weird. It was like we were flying. It was like we were over top of clouds. That's how, you know, trippy that looked today. Casey, I'm sorry that you didn't win the action figure. That was given to a guy by the name of Jason. However, maybe we'll just have a bunch of action figures made up and sell them. I don't think that would be a big seller at all. I think that would be a very bizarre situation indeed. As far as the Elcott and the Lloyd Bonafide competition goes, it is probably going to work out that the two of them will share duties somehow. Lloyd on the phone, Elcott, or excuse me, not Elcott, General Shaw and Lloyd competition. Lloyd on the phone, General Shaw in the studio. There's no sense in me trying to make them sound different. They don't. And at this particular point, there's no sense in me trying to make their personalities different. They're distinctly different men, but they do express themselves in much the same way. So we're going to have to go and sort of dig around in their personalities and come up with great things for them. I think they're cool to have on the air separate from each other. So that's where that is going to be. I'm a much bigger fan than that guy. Riverett, you probably are, but that's the cat that won. We don't have a sex doll. We have that action figure, as you witnessed the action figure. Maybe General Shaw and maybe you know, Bud want to fuck it, but I seriously doubt if, you know, that's anything that you would want to do. What else? Oh, update on my brother, Dara. He's doing much, much better. Thank you, everybody, for your good wishes for Dara, because he has been doing better. He is breathing much better on his own. He's actually communicative. He's back to his old surly self. He has requested his favorite movies, which are all fucking war movies. And I am told by my sisters that he's the same curmudgeonly motherfucker that he's always been. So that's really great news. I thank all of you guys for your best wishes for Dara, because I got to be honest with you, that dude was sick, man. He was really fucking fucked. I mean, he had an oxygen tube down his throat. He had diabetes to the point where the blood had been cut off to his right leg. He almost lost his right fucking leg. The steroids he was on made him swollen. I mean, he looked like this big swelled up guy when I first saw him. They said that he was on the drug that he was on. You'll be interested to know this because I know a great many of you probably use this drug recreationally. I'm kidding. But you know the drug that Michael Jackson was on that like fucked him up? Well, it's an anesthetic drug. And you're not really supposed to be on that for much longer than, you know, a few days. Dara was on that drug as a sedative. They gave that to my brother as a sedative because he really needed that. And I was told, quite frankly, by some of the doctors that, well, actually not doctors, but some of the nurse practitioners and therapists that you should not be on that drug for any great length of time. And Dara had been on it for a couple of weeks. And they, by all reports, you know, he's survived that. They got him off the sedation, and he's doing really good. So you guys were really key in making us all feel better about that. I'm really, really grateful to all of you guys for doing that. Bonnie, we did not bring the cats with us to Big Sur. They're with our friend Susie. Poncho, in fact, when I came back to the house because I forgot something, I had to turn around and come back to the house this morning. And as I opened the door and I walked in, Poncho was standing there, and he gave me a little meow kind of thing, like, you know, are you back? These cats are so goddamn spoiled, and they're the most, they're daddy's little cats. I mean, they just can't get along without me. And they just meow, and they wonder where I'm going and all this good shit. But I think it'll be cool. Susie's taking care of them. She's awesome. In fact, she sent some pictures of, yeah, that's exactly what it is, Tony. Propofol. You're exactly right. That's what he was on, man. And the trip about that is that you're not supposed to be on that for any great length of time. And they were using that. Here's the thing that I thought was interesting. It's an anesthetic. And to use it as a sedative is like, you know, you're asking for trouble, from my understanding. But and so I heard all this really bad shit. You know, my sisters were telling me, you know, this is not a very good prognosis with him being on this stuff. But the last week has been just fucking amazing, man. And I'm just so happy, you know, the Dara's back to his old, you know, pissed off self. And that's really great. I said something to my sisters today, I said something to Lauren today that I believe is true. My brother is way tougher than my old man ever wished he was. And, you know, my father used to give my brother shit about not being tough enough. And my brother was the older brother, and you could imagine him having to hear that shit. In life, my brother Dara has proven to be a way tougher dude than my old man ever fucking was. And I say that with all the love in my heart for you, Dad. You know, wherever you are, man. But, you know, Dara is way fucking tougher than you. This dude has fought back from death's door. You know, I don't say that to disrespect my father, but I do remember him, you know, riding my brother pretty hard. So, you know, Allie, you're a cat mama? Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, Poncho gets the love because Poncho is such a little baby. You know, he's a big cat. He's 9 years old. He's the male. Thunder is a female. She's only about 2 years old. And Thunder is all really independent. And she just goes wherever she wants to go. And she looks at shit. And she's cool with everything. And Poncho's all, meow, you know, crying when anybody leaves. And he's all bumming. And so he really needs to, you know, sort of get all that fucking attention and shit, which is pretty funny. Your cats are watching the video chat, Casey. Yeah, cats are pretty cool. I really want to have, at some point, I want to get, you know, a dog, to go along with my cats, because I miss having a dog. And, I saw, coming up here today, I saw on Pacific Coast Highway, they have a bike lane, believe it or not. Anybody who wants to can ride their fucking bike all the way up Pacific Coast Highway, to San Francisco or beyond. And so as you drive up Pacific Coast Highway, you see people on bike. Look at her. Man,
But I spilled it.
What did you do?
I had four, but I spilled it.
How dare you? I'm kidding around, baby. See, this is a woman that'd do anything for me. You all right?
Yeah,
what's the matter, baby?
It was just difficult.
Honey, it's okay. It was difficult. Why did we call room service?
It is, I don't know. People are shining lights on my face. I spilled half of it.
So. Honey, it's all right. She got, you know, Lauren. Honey, hey, Lauren. She's all pissed off at me. Anyway, I saw this guy, among many people that I saw on bicycles, I saw this one dude pushing his bike up the highway. And he had these sort of satchels on the back of this bike. And I mean bicycles. He had an American flag sticking out the ass end of this bike as he's going up the side. And there was a little dog walking along next to him. And I remember thinking, that fucking dog, you know, trust that guy, man. That dog's whole life is wrapped up in that guy. And that little dog is walking down a highway somewhere in fucking California with this dude who God knows what he's all about, you know. I cared more about the dog than I did about the guy, which is really fucked up, but hey, you know. Other comments we had here. Allie, at some point, I'd like to be compatible with a human male. That would be nice. Allie, wouldn't we all like to be compatible with someone of the opposite thing? But King Knapp has checked in here. What about having RC go to basic training and have Lloyd pop up as his training instructor? Just a thought. I think RC, I think RC is done with the military life. The more I think about RC as a character, the more I believe he needs to return to some civilian role, because I think he's pretty much, you know. Hey, doll.
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, I spilled half.
Honey, who gives a shit? Thank you very, very much for doing what you done did. Let's call those motherfuckers up now and get some room service cranking in the, up in here. Who did?
So I didn't do it.
Here. Well, I mean, now that I have a drink, I can sort of...
Right. Is this cool?
Yeah, that's totally bitching, baby. Thank
and
you.
I got the...
Thank you. Let's take a look and see what else is up here. Do I do voices to the cat, Sarge? No, I don't. Except I will talk to the little one, Thunder. I'll say shit like this. How you doing, Thunder? But what we do do... What we do is we have I have a voice for Poncho and a voice for Thunder. Poncho's voice is this. Hey, why don't you shut up, man? You're not doing me any good. And Thunder's voice is this.
I'm not going to go and do anything I don't have to do.
And that's kind of the personality that they both have. You know, he's like, yeah, you do. You have to do what the humans say you got to do.
No, I don't.
Baby, it's all right.
No,
thank you for doing that.
Now.
I know that I was in the middle of all kinds of shit when
no,
I was
no, it's
placing
funny.
My order, so.
Why,
what do you mean they're jackasses?
These motherfuckers with their trucks on, and I'm like...
Oh, those motherfuckers...
They're shining a light right in me, and then they're turning off, they're like, how are we doing?
Not
like,
good, motherfucker.
We're doing good, baby. I'd like to get in the car with you. I mean, you're just cheating.
Are these guys at work
no,
here?
No, not at all.
They're just motherfuckers that are guests?
There's some cheese dicks that are standing on the road here.
There's fucking guests?
Yeah.
That are driving their fucking cars up here?
Oh, yeah, like multiple trucks. Like
no, they're not allowed to drive their motherfucking car. No, those are fucking...
I know.
Yeah.
And they're bitching because they try to hit on me.
And they employees?
No.
Honey, I'm telling you, no guests are allowed to drive cars up here. So they have to be employees. Tell Lauren we love her too. Reminds me of the time when Bobby sang, how much is that dog in the window? Then hits it with a golf club across the field. Who sang that? RC, mall cop. Have RC join the Republican Party. Hey, Lauren, that's funny. Somebody writes, I have voices for my cats to a spoiled teenage girl and the other is scared of everything. Doubter and Beans. What's that mean, Doubter and Beans? Jeff Doubter and... Is that a house rental? I think that should be HendryCon. Phil gets us a house at the beach for the weekend. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, that's a great idea, Paul. We could fit everybody into one fucking house. That would be... Well, just everybody that's online with me right now would be fantastic. All right, let me pour this drink here. This is... Jesus Christ. What do you mean you spilled half of it, baby? This is the whole drink? This is great. You didn't spill half of it. This is the whole drink.
It was four shots, dude.
Well, you know,
but I was
let
like,
me tell you, can I say something? I want to say, I'm serious. Yeah. That's enough for me to want to fucking complain about.
No, I spilled it, though.
What no, but you got light shining on your face. You're being hit on by motherfucking employees. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
okay. Yeah, no, that's not okay.
Yeah.
No, not for the goddamn money.
We deal with it.
I'm going to complain to Elcott. Fucking, you guys don't know, but Elcott hit on Lauren as she was coming back here. He was all like, hey, what's up? And Lauren told him to go suck it, and apparently he started to weep behind the wheel of his fucking truck. So, you know. Sounds like Jay needs to call the head of security, tell him how to straighten things out. I think you're right, Alan. I think we need Jay Santos on this job over here, man. Elcott, you ain't getting it done, dude, at the fucking all. Nathan Smith says, I imagine our male cat having Patrick Stewart's voice. Oh, yeah? So a male cat would speak like this, sort of. Number one. I mean, I'm not doing it very good, but yeah, you do. You anthropomorphize, I believe is the word, your aminals. But I will say that even among cats, it would appear that the female of the species is much tougher because it seems that way among human beings. Forgive me for saying. I mean, I love my brother males, but we are a bunch of fucking pussies. Hey, there you go. How's that for a joke when it comes to certain things? Let's see. Moving along, River Rat, Doubter to Poncho, Beans to Thunder. Who's Beans, man? Oh, Beans Halberstam. You're right. Sorry, dude. You're absolutely right. I got you, dude. Beans Halberstam, exactly. Poncho is more like, you know, just shut up, you know?
I'm not going to do anything you tell me to do because you're not the human. I only take orders from a human.
And Poncho, believe it or not, is 9 years old. But when I'm petting Thunder, I'll be petting her. He walks over and he starts to batter with his paw, like, get out of here. Like, you're not allowed to be here. You're not allowed to get the love from the humans. I am. Are you ready for that? And that's her fucking house, man. Colby Jack, at this time, we're going to have to put you under citizen's arrest for hit on Miss Lauren. Exactly. So Jay's going to put him under citizen's arrest, babe. Lauren laughed at that one, Colby Jack. Yeah, Jay Santos should recruit RC. The first reports from the train story in France stated that it was the United States Marine Corps. I'm sorry if it was not accurate. I'm not a journalist. Stephen, you somebody reported that it was Marines, and it might have been you. That's a great callback in the middle of us talking about two cats, but you're the man. Paul is Elcott. Elcott is a prick on Fridays. Yes, he is. Is that a Moscow Mule? It's not exactly, Bill. It's a Mexcal Mule. It's tequila and ginger beer. And the horrible thing about this is that I'm wasting good Añejo tequila on this. Well, I shouldn't complain. Lauren got it for me. It's fantastic, honey. Margaret needs to fucking smack those employees with a newspaper. Truth. Sarge made a comment that Alan agrees with. Yeah, Jay Santa should recruit RC. That's not a bad idea, man. Have an RC be a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be, you know, probably working with a Citizens Auxiliary Police pretty soon.
Bad idea, man.
Oh, Miss Sherry, why don't you help me handle that, okay? I don't think you know nothing about it.
Well, maybe I do. Maybe I ought to just kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, I love to see... Ow!
Rudy to Lauren, la 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 la. What's the email for the front desk? BSP attack. Yeah, no shit.
Nah, it's all good.
It's Elcott. You know, just send it to Elcott there at Big Sur, California. One of the that motherfucking Elcott has more places around America where he can do his stupid shit. You know. Don't punt the Thunder. You're right. RC Malcott is a great idea. Sarge likes Alan's idea, which is, you know, RC being recruited by Jay Santos. Now then, Bill, get Lloyd to use his voice siren while chasing these assholes off your property. You're on vacation. Use the good tequila. It's not a bad idea, but one of the things is you're using that Añejo tequila. It's like drinking cognac with ginger beer. It's not quite the best thing in the world, but, you know, we'll live with it. Anyway, Lauren was coming down here from the bar, and apparently cats that work here, Elcott's own novitiates and initiates, and there might have been a few overlords, were hitting on her. So this is going to be a major fucking issue, I am pretty certain, here at the Redeemery. There's also going to be a show, as you know, a BSP show tomorrow, and there will be a BSP there will be a regular show on Monday from the Elcott Redeemery here and Elevation Platform, given the fact that we're not leaving until Monday afternoon. Our dinner this evening was quite good, although Elcott, the kitchen prepared it, and it was, like, pretty weird. Alan Groom says the three-step takedown. Yeah, Tony, Sub-Commander Collins, maybe he can be a major domo one day. Randy, hi, everyone. First on chat, Phil, I want you to know you're my favorite radio show of all time that includes Howard or Art. Have listened to you on and off since WCCO, and you made me laugh and cheered. Thank you very, very much, Rudy. Or Randy, rather, and cheered me up so many times. I'll be a fan forever. Very nice of you to say that, man. And I appreciate that a lot. I do. Nathan says... Bill, that's what I was thinking to Bill's comment. Get Lloyd to use his voice siren while chasing these assholes off your property. Lloyd, the mouth siren guy was strictly invented because I needed a siren. I didn't have a sound effect, so I just went, and it would be kind of cool if you're being chased by a dude with a siren who's doing a mouth siren, if he was doing a mocking mouth siren. So in other words, it's not just, it would be like, you know, maybe you want to slap him in the face, but then he just goes,
ow.
Other comments here. Alan, by the way, Alan's wife was the designer of the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, as well as, I believe, the Rudy Canosa t-shirt. Alan, thank you again for that. Alan is asking me, Phil, any chance you'll be doing another one-man show? There is. Alan, Matt Besser at UCB has offered the UCB Theater for a Phil Henry one-man show. So, yes, and it would be at UCB in Los Angeles, which is, I just love the fucking place. It's a real theater for a real one-man show. It's not a comedy club. And there's a difference. One of the differences between a theater and a comedy club is a comedy club, you're getting drink service and food service, and that's great for a stand-up comedy act, but for a one-man theatrical show, you want to sort of have everybody in place, and then there's that intermission or whatever the fuck. People go and get whatever they want. Then they come back and they watch the show. I love the Hollywood Improv and all of the improvs. Those guys are fucking unbelievable. By the way, there's an improv that is going to be opening up at the Collection, which is a mall in Oxnard, California, very, very soon. What kind of operation is Elcott running there, asked Bonnie. Bonnie, I think it's the kind of operation where it's all about money. And in fact, Elcott told me today, while I was soaking in one of the metal tubs that he provides to leech all of the disgusting poisons from you, as he calls them. And I said, what are the prime directives here? And he said, well, what do you think? This is Star Trek. I said, no, ha ha. And he said, well, I'm not laughing. I said, fine, but what are the... He said, remember that when you are here at the novitiate and you are here dealing with the Redeemery, tip well. And Lauren was there. You heard that, didn't you, honey?
I did.
And I thought, and for a moment I thought I was getting really good spiritual advice, and it turned, tip well. And by then I looked up and Elcott had vanished in a mist. It was very threatening. Yeah, we just looked up and we realized the fog had rolled in and Elcott had just disappeared down the trail. All I saw was just a hint of his orange robe flapping in the breeze. And it was then that I decided that I'd get him. I don't know how or I don't know when, but I'll get him. Oops, excuse me. I hit the microphone with my drink. Lauren is here. She's settled down. She's angry at me because I sent her out into the dead of night to get drinks.
No.
Are you not, baby?
No.
I think it's just a walk down the pathway to the Elcott bar.
I know, it's fine.
Which, by the way, Elcott, you know, it's one thing, man, to have us come here and leech all the poisons out of our system and become better people. It's another thing entirely for you to hold me up for God knows what, $20 a shot for your shit booze. Thank you.
TGI Elcott.
TGI Elcott.
Sucks, man.
Elcott, you're a thief. All right, moving on to the other questions. Got a lot of folks here weighing in tonight. Great to see all you guys. Colby Jack is here. Again, River Rat. Great shows all week. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man. Colby Jack, Phil, you're at Elcott's place? It looks like one of Dean Wheeler's cabins. I think I saw a squirrel go by. Yeah, you're right. It does look like a Dean Wheeler cabin. In fact, I thought that's where we were going, to one of the Wheeler Resort, and it turned out that we were at this hold-up place here with Elcott. James Kaufman asks, what would Chris Norton say while he was flying a drone down the beach at Big Sur? He'd probably not say anything. He'd probably be passed out from fear. Thumbs up, Randy, says Colby Jack to Randy's comment, which was the following. Hi, everyone. Well, thank you. Randy was very complimentary, and Colby Jack's giving him the big thumbs up on that. Appreciate that. Casey, Phil, can you tell me us what the inspiration for Chris Norton? We lost the feed last week when you were about talking about it. Chris Norton was inspired by my late friend Paul Compton. Paul, is Chris Norton, only Paul was much more intelligent. Paul had his degree in anthropology, and he had his degree in political science. Very intelligent guy. But Paul, a lot of times, sounded to me like Chris Norton. You know, if Paul were here, he'd be saying things like, Phil, hey man, did you read that book I gave you last week about Bush and the cocaine that he's, you know, funneling to the United States, man? Well, Paul, I think it's a bunch of shit. Yeah. Well, man, get back to me, man, after you read that book. That was Paul. Far more serious guy. Not as frivolous, I think, as Jeff. But nonetheless, you know, we loved him, and we miss him. And that's the inspiration for Jeff Dowder. River Rat, yeah, lots of traveling squirrels up. Yeah, there are. There are a lot of traveling squirrels up here with Dean. Colby Jack paying Alan Grooms a compliment on his wife's designs. Yeah, great job. Totally, Alan. And Christ, I wish I could think of another shirt that we need to have done, because that would be awesome to have her working on that again. Bill says, I'm going to get a Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt soon. I hope you do, because they basically say that you believe in law and order and not in just the wild abandoning rape of people on the streets. Sarge, hey, Phil, do you think regular radio is dead? What do you think? I don't know anybody that listens to it, except for diehards who are into the political talk shit. And I suppose when you're driving down the street, you know, and you have it. But the bottom line is this. When there is a rapid flight of money from the industry, when you see an industry not able to capitalize or monetize itself except by selling to like pharmaceutical companies or tire companies, when you see nothing improving in terms of the content, the product, is it dead? It's a good question, man. Let me ask you this. If they improve Wi-Fi reception to the point where, you know, digital radio is being delivered to your car far more consistently, I believe that radio hasn't got a prayer. I think, but here's the bigger thing. It's not so much is radio dead, because that's simply a means of providing entertainment. What you're really asking me is the radio mindset, are the technocrats that ran radio, the talent that populated radio, in other words, the very manpower that existed to support radio, are those people dead? Do they have futures? Because I've seen damn few of those people able to transition into the digital world successfully. In fact, I can't think really of any that have been all that successful other than myself and maybe a few others. So the question isn't really, will the medium exist? Is it, will the mindset exist? Will the people that that created and supported and powered that kind of entertainment, will they continue on, or are they just fucking done? You know, are they able to, are those people able to be flexible enough and creative enough to take content, audio content, and allow it to flourish and get better in an entirely new way? Let's see. Question here. God, we are way back. Do you think radio? What mask should he wear, the mouth siren cop? What mask should the mouth siren cop wear? I think he should just have on his helmet and look like Lloyd, you know, personally. Phil, if I may, it is fine if you take a vacation break, sir. We all need a break. Please have a happy birthday. Also, get some rest. I certainly will, Stephen. Didn't hear you tell Lauren we love her behind every great man, Lauren. Did you hear that, Lauren?
What?
That they love you behind every great man?
I love you.
She was just, singing and saying thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great birthday, dude. Thank you, Bill, very much. Happy birthday, Riverette. Thank you. It's all a big tax shelter for Elcott. That's the truth. Tony, happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan, for the happy birthday. King Cap, what did Lauren get you for your birthday? Well, we're going to find out very, very shortly. And also, she has promised to get me an extremely expensive watch, something that I really need. Margaret would say, none of your beeswax. Truth. Keith Hampton, happy birthday, Phil. By the way, it was my friend's birthday, too, yesterday. Happy birthday to your buddy, your girlfriend, Keith. Happy birthday, Phil. Thank you. Hey, I can't seem to find the video of this chat, or is it on? Yes, it's on, Keith. The video of this chat is on the front page. You just go down to the box that says click here. I think we're going to have to make that a lot more obvious to people because every week we do get one or two questions. And I should actually make that very clear to people. Randy, Phil, any chance of you or your characters doing a spoof of that TV show Catfish where they get catfished? The recent show with Steven Bozell hosting, then getting up, beat up, and Vern taking over was an instant classic. Thank you. The Catfish show, yeah, we could do that, you know. Is Catfish still on the air? I mean, is it still a big show? Elcott does need a shirt. I think we're getting to the point where Elcott needs a shirt. Keith Hampton, go to the bottom of the front page. Yeah. Sorry for typos. Like Steve Bozell would say, I'm nervous. James Kaufman, love how Toby Bo's speech would improve the slower he talked. Yeah, that was, I don't know where we came from with Toby Bo, man. That was nutty. Yeah, it was a Ted Danson mask, King Cap. I think somebody was responding to your question, man. Riverat says to King Cap it was a Ted Danson mask. Let me see what King Cap said to prompt that. What did Lauren get you for your birthday? Oh, okay. A Ted Danson mask. She's laughing at that one. Alan, we were up in Oregon last week, and I made sure to walk up and down the beach at Rockaway wearing my Cap shirt. Citizens Auxiliary Police shirt. Awesome. Thanks, River Rat. Christopher, Phil, will you ever go back to radio or buy your own radio station? Well, I don't know why I would want to do that. There's got to be money in it, and radio doesn't have any money in it right now. There's no money to be made in radio, so unless I could make some dough. I don't think so, but you never should say never, you know. If I could own my own radio station and find a way to program it 24/7, I think the dream of a lot of people in radio is to own their own station, but the practical application of that is very difficult. First of all, you know, manning a station 24 hours is difficult, even if you have automation. It's a 24/7 situation. Secondly, you have to sell advertising or find a way to monetize that. What do you do? Why not just have an internet station or have a digital product and invite good people like yourselves to buy subscriptions, which is what magazines do, newspapers do, Netflix does, you know, Amazon.com, and so on and so forth. So I don't think so. Yes, Lauren, we love you, says Keith Hampton. Colby Jack, Bill, where in Oregon do you live? Sarge, can Lauren do any voices? Do you do any voices, baby? Yes, she does. She does a couple of voices. She's constantly doing imitations of her cat, that's for sure. Colby Jack, is it your birthday today? It's September 1st is my birthday, Colby Jack, so we thought we'd take this this weekend. Lou Pinella, happy birthday to you, Big Lou. Bill is in Portland, N.E. Where's Portland, N.E.? You mean Portland, M.E., as in Maine? Colby Jack, I'm in Oregon. Anyone from the Bay Area here today? Colby Jack is in Oregon. Is anybody here from the Bay Area? Steve Bozell getting beat up killed me. Thank you, Jeff. I like it when he gets his ass kicked. River Rat says, fuck radio, moving on. I think so. And the FCC. I just personally think that radio had an opportunity to do some great things when, you know, forget about me, when they had, Steve Dahl and Howard Stern and people like that at the very top of their game, Greaseman at the very top of his game. Radio could have created whole stations, an entire format out of that kind of entertainment radio. But they got on that bus too late. And by the time they got on that bus was like breaking down, you know. They also obviously turned the programming of those stations over to very inept people. And you know what happened. Is there any greater testament to the failure of radio than Adam Carolla being fired by CBS, Talk FM or FM Talk, and then immediately going out and getting a podcast and selling it to the tune of, you know, $1 million a year? Can you think of any greater failure? Because that's an example of radio saying, we can't use this guy. This guy's not a moneymaker. This cat can't get it done. And then he goes out and proves that he can. What's radio going to do? Come to Adam Carolla and say, would you like to do a show now? Because you just proved that our executives and programmers and general managers are too fucking stupid to recognize your talent. But we'll pay you $50,000 a year. They have no fucking money. I don't think that it's a. I don't think it's a. A coincidence that Adam Carolla is not on radio, not because he's not good enough, but because he makes more fucking money being his own boss, running his own content, and monetizing his own act, and that's a pretty significant. Sea change there. Radio, not too long ago, I was talking to some friends of mine who still worked over at Clear Channel, and they told me that all the contracts now stipulated that Clear Channel owned all the rights to content and owned all the rights to current, present content. I mean, that to me was really significant. It showed that all of a sudden they got brains over at Clear Channel and they went, ooh, maybe we ought to hold on to this here material. Maybe these people that we call talent really do have talent. And of course, anybody who's any fucking good is not going to sign a contract like that. No one that has any confidence in their ability to, create a performing, to create an entertaining product and also sell that product. Nobody like that is going to sign a usurious contract like that, which basically says, oh, okay, thank you. In exchange for the $250,000 a year you're going to pay me, or $200,000 a year, $150,000 a year, I'll go ahead and sign away the rights to my fucking material. You have to be fucking insane. I'll give an example right now. Any radio company that would want me on their airwaves would have to pay me well in excess of $1 million a year. I'm telling you, I just winked at Lauren, but I'm telling you, it wouldn't be worth my fucking while. Wouldn't be worth my fucking while, because the living I'm making right now as a digital artist, they would have to pay me well in excess of $1 million a year. That's just the bottom fucking line. Now, first of all, they ain't going to do it, because those motherfuckers are too goddamn stupid to know how to market, to sell, or to affiliate my show. They already proved that. And secondly, they don't have the fucking money to do that. They don't have them. They ain't got that money in the bank to do that. These guys are leveraged up to their asses. All these geniuses that we heard so much about. Mel Karmazin, here's a guy that's retired. He took his golden parachute. He left Sirius XM after merging those two companies and essentially destroying both of them. XM would have been a very healthy competitor to Sirius, but Mel decided to go the route of, I know what I'll do. I can't compete with XM. I'll just go ahead and buy them. And in the process, he put the company about $500 million in debt, turned over everything to Liberty Media, which has purchased DirecTV and a bunch of other properties, and we'll see how Liberty Media fucks that up, was this far ahead of being fired by the board at Sirius XM. Mel Karmazin was not a guy that people valued. Mel Karmazin was a guy that they wanted to get the fuck out of their goddamn company. The greatest thing that Mel ever did was hire Howard Stern. Period. That's all. That's the greatest thing he did. He found a kid by the name of Howard Stern at whatever the fuck it was, and was it NBC in New York? WNBC. You have to savor the semen in your mouth, you know. He found that guy. He hired him. Great move, Mel. Everything else you did, what the fuck are you even on this fucking planet for, man? I mean, why were you even in radio? It was a big move to hire Howard Stern. But at the end of the day, Mel took the hubris that he acquired having hired Howard, and believed everybody when they told him that he was a goddamn radio genius, and went out and fucked up the rest of the motherfucking business. Now, that's it. He was good for Howard. Everybody else going to find his fucking ass with both hands. That's pretty much our business. That's the radio business. It's a business where the executives believe they have more talent than the talent, where the executives believe they should be getting all the blowjobs. And they got away with it for a long time. And, yeah, and until something happened, something very curious happened. The bottom fell out of the business, and you can't blame the talent for that. You can't sit there and go, well, look what the talent did to me. No, sorry. No, you can't do that. This is entirely a clusterfuck of your making, gentlemen. And to that end, I say good luck. All right. See what else we got going on, man. Looks like people are grousing about something. Are you looking for an app for Googly, Apple? What's going on here? Def Leppard drummer tribute was great. I enjoyed doing that. The Rick Allen tribute, yes. Where did the idea for the long squeaky door sound as Margaret, General, or Bud leave the studio come from? Somebody, I remember hearing that for the first time and couldn't stop laughing. Alan, I don't remember where that started, but someone suggested it. One of you guys did, I think, on one of these here chats. So damn tired of all this live, all of his live reads. When Adam started pushing Burger King for breakfast, he sort of lost me. Well, but you know what? That's called commercial content, man. That's what pays the freight. You know, he could, for instance, Adam could, for instance, charge a premium. But, you know, he is selling advertising, so he's doing all those live reads. He's got essentially a radio model going on there. Your late father's birthday is September the 1st, Colby Jack. Bless his heart. Didn't World War II start on September the 1st? Yes, it did, 1939. Or it might have been September the 3rd. I think it was September 1st, 1939, when the Germans invaded Poland. Keith, Phil, I believe the platform of the show is strong and is always satirical focus on current events and exposing truth and educating people through the vehicle of comedy and fellowship to the characters yourself. It's a privilege to be part of it. Thank you very much, Keith. Although I don't think anything is as important as just entertaining you. Guaranteed laughs when Margaret and Bobby start catfighting. AT&T owns DirecTV. AT&T and DirecTV did indeed merge. I don't know if that's been approved yet, Colby Jack, because as of last week, Liberty Media was still listed as the majority investor in that thing. But I'm sure that in principle, you're right. Sir, you are, in my opinion, correct. Thank you, Stephen. Edward, a very happy birthday weekend. Phil, thanks for another year of daily laughter. Gene Jabel absolutely slays me every time you fire off an hour of him. Miss Chris Poutte, but Jabel is pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah, we got to get Chris Poutte back on this thing, man. Jeff Dillard, I love the dynamic between Margaret and Bobby. Every woman in my family, truth. Mark says, I've been Vallejo, saw you in San Francisco, love Mouth Siren Cop. Is that a radio horse dead yet? Yeah, I think so. By the way, we're going to be back at... we're back at the Sketchfest in January. I just talked to Cole Stratton, the guy who is the founder and the cat who puts off the Sketchfest every year. And we're really happy to be back in the month of January coming up. I'm really looking forward to Sketchfest now as sort of a regular run, you know, to make. Randy, how about Bobby knocking out Margaret then wanting to take on Rhonda? How do you pronounce that chick's name? Rusi? Rhonda Rusi? But she wants Rhonda to take the fight blindfolded. Yeah, I didn't see that fight. I heard that it was huge. I heard it took this Rhonda chick like a half a round to knock this bitch out. And it was, as usual, a massive MMA. Did you see this fight at all? This Ronda Rousey, huh? You know, I didn't watch. I'm not that much of an MMA fan, but I heard it was fucking amazing. Today's talk by Vernon about Knob Hoblin reminded me of when Bob Bacon did a spot for Old Knob Cream Soda and David and David Hall flipped out because the FCC was dusting the hot seat off. That's true. That was Bob Bacon did a spot for what? Old Knob Cream Soda. Perfect, man. Casey, you like DraftKings and Uber? You have to have some sponsors. Oh, yeah, man. You got to have some sponsors. Those commercials, DraftKings and Uber, are on our free show. By the time we put those into the archive, though, those sponsors should be out of there. In other words, by the time they go into the paid archive, those sponsors should be stripped out of the show. And I think they are. Lauren, honey, who's your favorite character? Asking Colby Jack. Everybody's guessing Rudy Canosa. They're all guessing it's got to be Rudy.
Rudy, no. I love Rudy, but no. Hold on. It's going to take me a second.
Oh, fuck. My back is killing me, man.
I love the hell out of Elcott, but he's a recent
yeah.
favorite.
It's going to take her a second.
It's going to take me a second.
She's pacing the room.
This is a rough one.
Honey, thank you for getting me the drink. Seriously, man, I didn't know it was going to be that kind of a hellish thing. And I'm telling you right now, if those were really employees that were giving you shit, I'm going to be really pissed.
It wasn't, they weren't employees. No. There was people staying
there. Motherfuckers.
Santos is my favorite.
Jay Santos.
Yeah.
Lauren says Jay Santos is her favorite. That's not bad, man. Blindfold boxing is a real thing. Seriously? Love it. I was telling a fellow guitar player about the skit years back when Jeff Dotter was agreeing with musicians reacting physically when being interrupted. I am looking for that segment. It was at the time when Rick Springfield was charged with battery. That was awesome. Jeff Dotter, if you look in our search engine, you may find that. Alan, what locations were you thinking of for the HendryCon? Only one, Alan. That would be Las Vegas, Nevada. We're completely and absolutely in love with that idea. Sketchfest was great, however, I was expecting you to have a desk set up with a phone and a mixing board. Thought you were literally going to do the show from a live location. Yeah, I think a lot of people did. Here's the thing about, we don't do the show live anymore. It's all a download show. So, you know, but performing it is probably still an interesting thing. And I have to be honest with you, I'm going to continue to work on how it is we want to do that live show. Because I'm just like really sort of... But it may very well be that the best way to do that show is the way it's done, which is as a live, or excuse me, as a radio show or a podcast. Marty asks, my wife is wondering why we haven't heard much about Jason J. Delmonico lately. Where did that name come from? It came from the idea that Margaret wanted a real showbiz name for her actor son, so she picked the name of a steak. She thought that was really flashy, and she thought the name Jason J. For all I know, the kid's real name is like, you know, Marty Brown or something. But that's where that came from. Jason is rarely heard from. I think he was heard from in one show. Primarily, he's just the silent, unspoken member of the Gray family. And right now, he is just trying to get his ass through the first years of high school as he continues to deal with a, you know, stage door, a showbiz mother. A very elderly father. There's a lot of ways. Jason J. Delmonico is based on a friend of mine I had as a kid who, this kid was my age. We were both 16, but his dad was like in his 70s. When this kid was like 16, his father was already in his 70s and or pushing 70. And his mother was in her early 50s. So she had him when she was in her late 30s. And they had two kids. And my buddy was the younger of the two. And it was weird, man. His dad was filthy rich. They lived in this big house. We'd go and hang out. So Jason is sort of based a little bit on this guy that I know. And what was interesting is I met his father, and he was a great guy, wonderful guy. Really one of those old guys that you like talking to. This dude was been everywhere and done everything. And this cat was in the lumber business. This is where he made all of his money. But he walked around, get a load of this, honey, he walked around with a poem in his wallet. And I'm over at the house when it was one of these Friday nights where all the kids are there, but all the adults are there, and everybody's having a drink, and everybody's just... And his dad's there, Phil, you know, how are you, Phil? One of those old timers that comes up to you and, how you doing, son? You all right? I'm good, Mr., you know, so-and-so. And let me just show you. I carry this everywhere. And it was the poem Lenore by Edgar Allan Poe.
Why?
I have no, he says, this is the most beautiful, I carry this poem.
Oh, my goodness.
I carry it everywhere. My beautiful Lenore. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, Phil.
His wife named Lenore?
No, his wife was not named Lenore.
Maybe
it was just an ode to love. So I think it was about Edgar Allan Poe's wife, Lenore. He was a trip and a half. And I liked him. I only met the guy like twice, but I thought this guy was great. And I'll give you another story about this guy. My buddy got a hold of, let's just say my friend got a hold of some money in a way that was probably not the best way. He took this money and he put it into his car. Well, his dad gets home, this guy with the Lenore poem, he gets home, looks at the car, and says, where'd you get the money? And it like almost immediately knew his son had gotten it nefariously. Got him to pay the money back, to go, you know, talk to the people, this, that.
Wow.
It was one of these fucking amazing moments of fatherdom, you know. But I think because he was much, much older, he probably was not that much of a hands-on dad. Because I remember his mom being around all the time.
Do you remember his past? Like, I'm trying to think why this guy Lenore still. Like,
I have no idea. His wife was a lot younger than him. Maybe he studied literature. But it was really a trip for him to pull this out of his wallet and say, look at Phil, here's this poem Lenore. I keep this with me.
God, I wish I knew that guy. I could ask him.
Yeah, great guy. And filthy fucking rich. Filthy rich. All right, man. What else we got going on here? I got time for a few more answers. Here comes that midget, that goddamn midget. You got it, Stephen. Stephen Miller talking about that midget. I have to say, if you were to ask me, my own personal favorite moment of the show over the last couple of weeks is when Wes Hurlford sang, not just, you know, here comes that midget, but threw the rawhide effect into it. So when he went, here comes that midget, yeah, here comes that midget, yeah, you know. To me, that was a high point for me. It was like he was saying basically, I'm too much of a pussy to protect my marriage from a midget that wants to, you know, basically put my wife under him. But at least I can give the impression that I'm some kind of a rawhide chewing drover.
Just by going, yeah.
Yeah, just by going, yeah. Here comes a midget. Yeah. Here comes that midget. Yeah. You know.
Rawhide.
I mean, yeah. Rawhide. Yeah, hey, isn't that your wife the one that, yeah, you know, forget it, you know, you can't, there's no way you can explain that away, you know, here comes that midget, yeah, it is the midget,
oh,
you know, and then he goes on to describe all these degradations done to his wife by, you know, by this Peter Dinklage individual. Oh man, I am so fucking ripped. I'll be honest with you guys, man. This goddamn Elcott, man, this motherfucker has just put me under the fucking eight ball here today, man. God damn, dude. Woo!
Maybe I should read Lenore for the last Lenore,
yeah. I think one of the things that you guys should all do, and I'll do it too, go and read Lenore.
Try to figure it out.
And what the fuck is,
you know, that's what I'm doing.
Are you reading Lenore now?
Yeah.
I know one thing about Edgar Allan Poe. This is a very interesting thing before I leave you. Edgar Allan Poe was not a drug addict. He wasn't a fuck up. He wasn't a weirdo. This turns out to be a lot of slander that was written about him by an individual that Edgar Allan Poe had given a bad review to when Edgar Allan Poe was reviewing writing for whatever newspaper. He gave a bad review to this guy. This guy never fucking forgot it and created all this shit about Edgar Allan Poe being a drug addict, and it's lasted exactly. Are you ready for that?
It's longer than the gerbils and...
But you want to know what it's lasted longer? What? Is the genius of Edgar Allan Poe's writing. And the fact that he's, you know, that he was such a great writer. Him as a man, of course. I guess you can slander a man personally, but you can't say anything about his work, because there it is. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you say that isn't great? All right, guys. I appreciate very much your being with me tonight. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Tomorrow, our BSP only will continue here from Big Sur. Catch the show tomorrow when it drops, video and audio, right here on our website. And until such time as, well, until Monday or whenever we talk again, next week for sure. I'm Phil Hendry. Thank you. Have a beautiful, beautiful night. And let me just see that I'm doing everything right here. Just be safe, you guys. Thank you. Love you. Talk to you later.